The Shooting USA podcast for the week of December 4th, first week of December. We're staring down Christmas.
That's right. We are within the range, within the month. That also means staring down final SHOT Show preparations, end of the year preparations. This is a pretty busy time for us, Mr. Scouten.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's become a trend here around the Shooting USA offices that everybody who needs something for SHOT Show all of a sudden needs it, though. You know, the first or second week of December. So there's a lot of time management involved in that. And we're still continuing to turn out new shows, which is, you know, that's part of what we do. We put out new shows year-round. And we've got a new show this week that gets everybody into the season a little bit.
That's right. Brand new Impossible Shots. And I can say that in the 7 or 8 months I've been solely working on Impossible Shots, this was my favorite one in the field. This is going – it's my favorite one that we've completed the show so far for a couple elements, couple reasons. This is Julie Golub, Smith & Wesson Pro Shooter, shooting to make Christmas ornaments. Yeah. How awesome does that sound?
I remember when you told me about this idea when she was in town and we were working on this project, and I thought, how in the world is she going to do that? That's just going to be crazy. But I promise you, it's entertaining television. It's good stuff.
Well, and even up until the point of making the shots, I had no idea how Julie was – she was describing things. And this is just the mark of someone who's a great shooter and understands how shooting things are going to work, because – I didn't even understand the physics of some of these shots, how they were going to happen and how they were going to make ornaments, but she pulls everything off, and it's quite the Christmas tree. And keep in mind, we filmed this in July.
Yeah.
It's like a week after the 4th of July when we filmed this. So the scenery is a little green for the holidays, but it, we pull it off. It's still a fun one.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. And later on in that same show, the Shooting USA team, a lot of our behind-the-scenes people, people that aren't seen or heard from in the shows, we all get out and have our Christmas party.
That's right. A very, very rare look at everyone. We meet the entire crew of Shooting USA. We shoot a little trap. We eat some meatloaf-sized burgers off the grill. And it's a fun look at really the little family, because we are a very small company. There's 10 of us. And I hope that's right. If not, check my math when you watch the show. There's a handful of us who do all this, and it's fun to see the people who aren't normally in front of the camera. You know, people see you and me, they see Jim, but you get to see everybody else, and that's fun.
Yeah, it was a neat piece. I remember watching that and thinking, wow, that actually was a good time. That was a fun day. So, good stuff. And that kind of leads us into the introduction for our guest on this week's podcast. We've got a call in with none other than Julie Golub.
That's right, the Smith & Wesson Pro.
The star of this week's new Impossible Shots. We'll be asking her a number of questions. We're looking at a probably 2 or 3 minutes before she calls in. So in the meantime, we'll entertain you with our fantastic radio voices. And that's one thing I think we need to, or at least I need to continue to remember when we do these things, is that this is radio. This is all you get, is the voice.
The voice, yes.
I don't have the advantage of the moving pictures that I'm so very used to when it comes to the television show. So I'm learning on that, and this, you know, as we go along, these things are starting to fall into place. So having a good time with it.
And it is very fun. This is background for me. Started out in radio before I was doing television. So to sit here with the headsets on, talking back and forth, knowing people at home are listening to this in whatever way they choose, it's fun to get back to this old school version for me of how it started. And now to do it in this podcast form, which is, you know, modern day radio. Here we go. Just download it to the iPhone. You gotta love this. This is fun.
Well, that's the thing. You can hear it anywhere. You know, you pull it into whatever podcasting software you're listening to us on, and you can listen to it in the car, on the train, in the airplane, wherever. And we'll try to pass some time for you. You know, we've mentioned in the past that people use it to listen to while they're on the treadmill or while they're working out. You know, I mean, there's another great way to use what we're giving you for a great way to pass the time.
That's right. I've also learned not only just our podcast, not that I sit and listen to myself. Yes, I do. That's fine. You can make fun of me. But podcasts are a great way to kill the 3.5-hour drive I'm making every Thursday to my duck camp this time of year. You got to kill that drive somehow when you're making it in the middle of the night to go try to shoot a few ducks.
Right. So podcasting and sunflower seeds. And so you were mentioning to me the other day when we had just gotten started this week that there'd been some larceny around your duct tape. You want to share that with the people?
So unfortunate. I lease, along with a crew of friends, some private spots in Missouri. No, you don't get any more location than that, but it's in Missouri.
Ducks fly there.
Ducks fly there. And, you know, we are guys who work for a living, so we can't hunt every day, which is unfortunate. And in the middle of the week when no one was there, somebody else got in and caused a little damage and made off with a few pieces of my equipment. It's a very unfortunate thing when that happens. And, you know, I'm a huge hunter. I have a big hunting background. Everyone in my family hunts. All my friends are hunters. I truly believe that the hunting community are great people, but there are a few bad eggs floating out there, and it's just one of those things. You can't always guarantee that everything will go smoothly in the world, so I'll be making another drive up there this weekend, and I'll have a little maintenance work to do, and I'll have a little bit of equipment that I'm going to have to replace as the season goes on. Unfortunate, sad that it happened, but I'm certainly not going to let it detour from the rest of my hunting season.
Good. Good news. Well, I hate to hear it, but, you know, I guess in all things, it's part of it, unfortunately. So we're rolling up past time when we were supposed to be hearing from Julie, so maybe we need to reach out
to
her.
It is time to let's punch Julie up and see if we can get Miss Golub on the phone.
All right. And just like that, with the modern technology that we possess and we are in control of somewhat, we've got our call-in guest. It's Julie.
Hey, everybody.
Julie, how you doing today?
Good, and you?
Oh, we're wonderful. We are counting down till Christmas. We just led into this with the stories of how busy our office currently is as we wind down the end of the year. How's life for you guys? You staying busy as we get towards the holiday season?
Yeah, it seems like it's supposed to be that relaxing time of year, but there's a lot going on.
Well, you know, you say it's going to be a relaxing time of year, but then everybody has work and family, so that pretty much takes all the relaxation out of it, right?
Definitely.
You bet. Well, this week is also the debut of the Impossible Shots Christmas special, which you pick up and carry the weight tremendously on. You know, think back to that, and how was it devising those shots, and how difficult were the shots you actually pulled off?
Oh, that was so much fun. Little Christmas in July, I guess.
Yeah, very cool.
The shots were not that difficult as far as impossible. Except for maybe the shotgun slug shot, which was definitely a celebration shot for me. But it was more about having a lot of fun and showing what you can do on the range and maybe even bring the family in.
Well, we make a point of that in the show. You say that, I say that. Mostly, you know, Impossible Shots has the big disclaimer of do not try this at home. But this was a case where we were encouraging people because these, as you said, were not all that difficult shots and were something people could do from home. Right, Julie?
Definitely. And a lot of fun, interactive, and a great way to incorporate unique targets into your range time.
Yes, and by home, I meant home range, not your actual home.
Not at your house.
Of course. Julie, how did you come – you came up with this idea 100% on your own. How did you come up with this idea?
So the biggest challenge for me being on the show is that you've got all of these incredible shooters that are setting the standard. And what can I do to kind of up that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys don't tend to think along the lines of crafts or creativity or holidays and that sort of thing. So I wanted my Impossible Shots this year to kind of do a little spin off that stuff.
I think you pulled it off beautifully. And I'm wondering, you know, you've appeared in a number of Impossible Shots shows now. How is it being received? Are you getting good feedback?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm doing stuff with, you know, that Jerry and Byron, and it's amazing. And a lot of people are excited to see a woman on the show. I'm really, really happy about that.
Well, having a woman on the show was a long time coming, but we are confident we found the right woman to be on this show based on the shots that you've already pulled off. You've done a couple trips down here. What has been your favorite shot so far?
Can I say it? I don't think it's married yet.
Well, tell us what the shot will be then. What you're going to attempt to do in an upcoming episode that is your favorite?
I think probably maybe it's the how far I can shoot with the M&P shield.
Oh, yes. I remember this one. We did. We took an M&P shield in 9mm, correct, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
And we stretched out the distance to shoot an 8-inch plate and kept adding distance and distance and distance. And when I say distance, I mean we go beyond 100 yards.
That's the new compact carry gun.
That is the compact carry gun.
9mm sub-3-inch barrel.
And she did this standing. There was no rest. She was a standing position.
It's got to be offhand. Yeah, no doubt. Fantastic. Well, I have not seen that, so I count me among those who will be anxiously awaiting that debut. That's fantastic. I didn't know that y'all had even done that.
That one is hanging to be part of the end of this season, so fans can expect to see it March, April, that very early springtime. But Julie, you're right. That's a good one. When you were last here, we also did another theme. You did a spin on the 4th of July. Tell us about that one.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. fireworks are always great. Fireworks and firearms. really enjoyed that.
And that was one where you were the fireworks extinguisher, if I can say that, putting out the fireworks with your shooting, which was a real interesting way to use sparklers.
It was, and it definitely added a little bit of stress factor in.
Well, all of a sudden it became a time shot because we learned very quickly that day that those sparklers don't burn very long, do they?
No, they don't. It makes them last longer.
It's very fun, Julie, when we work with you because we actually bring you to us, and that means filming in Nashville, Tennessee. And you always have a good time coming to the capital of country music. Talk to me about your experiences down here.
You know, I am a late New Yorker originally, and I've been able to expand and grow as a person. And now I'm a Montana girl, and I love cowboy boots and country music. And so coming down to the Mecca is definitely a highlight.
That's one of those things, man. This city has something for everybody.
That's right.
And now that you've exposed yourself to the country a little bit, there's an awful lot for country people down here. That's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of Montana, we have a very Montana cell phone signal going right now, I think. little bits of gaps in there.
Little choppy, but we're making it happen. Julie, we were so excited to have you as our guest, but the one thing we did not consider was limited cell phone service.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's the problem with Montana.
We'll make do.
We're making it happen. Everything is very understandable. Julie, what do you think is going to happen when this Christmas special airs December 5th, Wednesday night? What do you expect to have the feedback on? Because this is a very non-traditional Impossible Shot show.
I don't know. I guess I really hope that this is the kind of show that guys can bring their wives, girlfriends, kids, and say, this is the one you got to watch. And if you miss it the first time around, you can see it the week of Christmas. And it kind of gets you in that fun spirit, but it's also a great way to experience shooting in a great way.
Yeah, that's worth mentioning. This show, being our Christmas special for Impossible Shots, will get two air dates right before Christmas. So comes around again. Isn't that the week of the 17th? If I have
No, we're gonna rerun this one on December 26th.
Oh, okay. So the day after Christmas.
So you get your chance, your first chance on December 5th. If you miss it, if you hear this podcast too late, you get another shot on December 26th. And this one, there's so much happening in this one that it's one that if you see it for the second time, and I think both of you guys will agree with me, you're going to pick up on some other little subtle jokes and funny moments that you may have missed the first go around, because there's a lot happening in this half-hour show.
Well, and that's why people should be DVRing. That way they can watch it as much as they want. Shooting USA, Wednesday nights, Outdoor Channel.
So, Julie, are we going to get you back anytime soon? We'd love to do some more Impossible Shots with you.
I don't know about soon.
Yes, yes. Now, that's another piece of information. You went, you made an announcement out through all of the social media venues that that you've got an addition to the family coming along, and that's putting a little bit of a kibosh on the shooting season for you.
It is. It's right in the middle of it. but I'm very excited. We're thrilled and looking forward to bringing another little shooter into the world.
Good times, good stuff. The so that will, though, give you time and opportunities for your social media efforts, which you're excellent at, as well as perhaps another book. Anything on the horizon there?
I don't know. I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh.
Oh, all
okay,
right.
Well, let's talk about the book that does exist.
The book that we do have in hand.
Shoot by Julie Golub. How has that been received? Yeah. Tell me about the book.
The book is doing better than I ever even imagined it would. It's in its second printing, and this is a great amount of response on it. And I'm excited since that show kind of marks the kickoff and send-off for Shoot this year. So it'll be a year in January.
That's terrific.
That's wonderful.
That's
great stuff. For those out there, Julie, who are not familiar, give us a rundown of what Shoot is all about. What does your book do for people?
Basically, Shoot is a primer on how to get started in a shooting sport. And it starts at the very, very beginning. What is a gun, a bullet, that sort of thing. And firearm safety, all the way up to the various different shooting sports, and some tips and tricks to help you become proficient.
Excellent.
And this is the guide if you are someone who wants to start the shooting sports, but really for anybody who's looking at fine-tuning their game, because you're in the specifics of how these games are played, how they work. You may have shot Bianchi Cup for the last 4 or 5 years, but it sounds to me like there's still a lot of knowledge in your book for that shooter.
Definitely. I think the benefit for existing shooters is that they tend to focus on one specific sport. If they're an IDPA shooter, they tend not to jump over to Steel Challenge or Bianchi or USPS. This way they can learn about the details of those sports and what they need and how they can kind of jump in and do both and really kind of take their game to the next level.
Excellent.
Yep.
That's great stuff. Julie, I have a very funny story for you real quick about your book. What people don't know, and I don't think John knows this either, I read your book on my honeymoon.
What?
I was laying on the beach in Mexico reading Shoot, and we befriended several people from Europe who were completely enamored with what we all do for a living. So your copy of Shoot, that it was in my possession, got passed up and down the beach that day, which made for some very, very entertaining conversations
at
night. So we have international reach going on with this copy of Shoot.
Now, I like that better than when you're sitting in the airport and you see somebody who's got a paperback copy of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
Although I would not complain if Shoot was successful.
Well, yeah.
True.
No,
well,
not on,
true.
Not
enough.
Necessarily on the success level, but at least if you look at the cover of this particular book and you make a judgment on who that person is based on what they're reading as opposed to some of the people you see in public with the others. So that's fantastic stuff. So not at liberty to disclose whether or not there's another book in the works. So we won't go back there, but I just did. Sorry. what you've
Segway.
You've had a little bit of hunting success this year. I've seen a couple of pictures. Are you actually hunting, or are you accompanying others on hunts? How's that working out?
This year, my hunting season has been limited to just home, and because I am expecting, I'm really limited on what I can and can't do. So it's been a lot of downtime for me to pause and reflect and spend time outdoors, which I love, and of course, my husband.
Good.
Which is wonderful. And it's important for people to know, and I can say this because, Julie, we have hunted together. Julie is a legit hunter. We're talking with somebody who knows what she's doing, and when she doesn't know, when something's new, picks it up fast.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that's endearing to me. As I mentioned earlier, you're fully vested in the world of social media, and a key element that you continue to put out in social media is or are recipes and the use of the different games that you take. And that is just, that's absolutely endearing to me, because most people don't know that I spend a great deal of time cooking and I enjoy cooking a great deal. But I think it's important, and I think it lends credibility to you as a hunter that you use game meats in your recipes.
Well, thanks. You know, it's hard. Most of the books and the recipes that you see out there are kind of dated and limited. Kind of like traditional, like, oh, your house is roast. But I really like to take games to the next level and go global with it and try it out with different flavors and techniques of food that I love all over around the world.
I think it's fantastic.
Wonderful.
And there's no better source of clean proteins than wild game. I mean, absolutely unmolested meat. That's the best source of unmolested meat.
I agree. It's something when you're sitting there, you harvest an animal, and then we process all ourselves. And to know that what I'm giving my family, what I'm feeding my daughter, is completely healthy and hasn't been jacked up with hormones and everything else.
Right. That's terrific stuff, man. That is fantastic. And honestly, we're on the podcast now. I have to give credit for the original idea for the Shooting USA podcast to Julie. I don't know if you remember this or not, but it was a conversation that we had in the car at the IDPA Indoor Nationals coming up on a year ago now. And you were telling me all of the fine points and all of the things that you've learned about social media, and you encouraged me at that time to make this happen. And that's one of those things. I didn't jump immediately on it, but we finally did bring it back around. So it's a big thrill to have you on as a guest. Are you planning on attending SHOT Show?
I am.
Excellent. We're planning on doing these podcasts in person daily from SHOT Show. So I hope at that point to get you on and actually put you on a headset so we can have you right here in the conversation.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, we'll plan on that. So
we'll have a better signal when we're all together at SHOT Show.
There won't be a 3,800 mile gap between Mike and I and you. So I think that'll be advantageous. I'll be looking forward to that very much.
Julie, each week on these podcasts, as we get closer and closer to SHOT Show, we've been pontificating and speechifying to the audience on what's it like. But I'm curious, what's SHOT Show like for someone like you? Because I'm sure it's every bit as busy as it is for us, but what do you feel in your day doing?
The most dedicated I am in time is representing different companies. I'm always at Smith & Wesson for at least 2 time slots a day, but I also go to my other sponsors throughout the show, and I also usually have a couple book signings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of bouncing and running around, and sometimes there are interviews and that sort of thing. And it's exciting. It's definitely a whirlwind. You need a few days to detox afterwards.
I know what you mean.
We completely understand and agree with that. And you're talking about spending time with your sponsors, but you're also talking about interaction with the fans. I know when you're set up at Smith & Wesson, you're there to sign autographs and meet people. Where are different places that people can see you? Obviously, Smith & Wesson, that's going to be a big one. But where else can people pay you a visit and talk about your book, talk a little shooting with you?
Right now I'm finalizing my schedule, but I always make time to visit Benelli and ASIM and Federal Ammo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a good opportunity for me to pop over to potential new sponsors for meetings.
Can't hurt.
After that, you know, it all depends. Safari Land's a big one. I usually post my schedule prior to the show on my blog and make sure that people know where they can find me.
That's it. Continuing to push
that right.
social media
that
and stay in front
there
of
the
people.
Social media.
I like it. The Julie G blog.
Very good, Julie. Very good.
All right. I think the Montana cell phone system just bailed on us.
Julie, can you still hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there we go. There was a lot.
So much better.
The good news is we only had about 6 seconds of dead air there, so we can survive that.
Well, that's very good.
That's okay.
What are you guys looking forward to?
Well, you know, SHOT Show for us is always the same. We're going to do our one-hour special.
Mm-hmm.
This year will be new in that we're going to do podcasting from some of our major sponsors. I believe, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's going to include Smith & Wesson and Bushnell this year.
Smith & Wesson is actually creating a time slot for us. They're going to be pushing, and they're securing a PA system so that we can plug in and people can hear us as we're recording. And that's going to be interesting.
That's going to be
basically putting the thing up live in front of people. That will be that'll be a new one, and I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, Julie, you're going to get roped into at least one of them. So that'll be fun, though. I think when you plug into the PA and you start amplifying our voices up and down the aisle, I guarantee you that's going to attract attention. So I'm looking forward to that very much. That's going to be good stuff. I always enjoy seeing new product stuff out there, and we've actually refined the way we create the segments for the one-hour Shooting USA special to the point where we're pretty efficient at it
at
this point.
As efficient as you can be.
And that makes it fun when you look 5-6 years ago back, and we did this just the other day, as a matter of fact, looked at a DVD of the 2006 SHOT Show coverage that we had done, and we only did 12 minutes of coverage, and I remember that being just physically exhausting. It was just draining, but that was really because we didn't have a good clear-cut way of doing the thing, and we do now, and it works really nicely, and it makes a neat show because when we get out there, we're able to do appearances, we're able to do the business side of this thing, selling the advertising and selling the sponsorship, but then we're also able to walk away with a full one-hour show finished and in the can. And we turn it around as soon as we get back, and it's really a neat deal. It's really fun.
And to put that in perspective, that means that's 49 minutes of talking about new product. That's the time that we're filling out there in the 4 days. It's 49 minutes, as opposed to, as John said, year one when it was 12 minutes.
Right.
And that was exhausting. And, Julie, we should show you this DVD because we did watch it the other day. My first SHOT Show ever that I had ever attended. One of my first times appearing on camera. One of the first times John had appeared on camera. And it was a train wreck to watch.
It was bad. It was bad. I was grossly overweight. I was 30 pounds heavier than I am now. Fat in the face. It was bad. It was bad. And you could see me start sweating. You know, we would start a bit, and 15 seconds into it, I'm glistening and beads of sweat are coming in my forehead just simply because I'm terrified. It was tough. We're much more polished. We're much more refined now. And thankfully so.
One of your most popular shows, right?
Absolutely, yeah. People really, really enjoy this because it's something otherwise, unless they're an FFL or unless they're media, they can't otherwise go and see it. And that makes it something that they really, really like. And it also is a primer and a setup for the NRA show. And you said, now that we have the podcast, we can bring content and information about what's new to the people immediately. And that's fun. I'm excited about that prospect. Because there's other guys out there on the internet that have been doing it that way without a television show. Now we've got the television show, and we're crossing over into that instant gratification of podcasting and internet content. So it's fantastic. It's fun stuff.
And you've got insider perspective.
That's right. The perspective
of... it's not like you're just walking around the show like, oh, this is a new product. Now you've got the companies that are actually going to help you get the best information out there.
Right, and that's part of the goal here is to put people from the companies on the podcast also. Whoever the developmental engineer is or somebody else for whatever new product from whatever company, here, get on the mic and let's do 5 minutes on your new product. And that's the kind of thing that's really going to help this thing grow legs. I'm excited about it very much.
It's the unsung heroes series.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, we'll take that. Sure. Why not? Well, Julie, what are you looking at? Post SHOT Show, obviously you've got your family going on and that's going to be a priority, but what are going to be some of the highlights for you in 2013?
I think that, of course, the baby's the first and foremost, but after that, I'm definitely going to enjoy a little bit more writing.
A little more what? I'm sorry, Julie, we lost you just for a second there.
A little more writing.
Okay. It is again.
I'm not at liberty to discuss what I may or may not be writing, but I'm going to do some writing. Oh, okay.
A little more creating.
All right. I like it.
And I'm also looking forward to brainstorming for some more impossible shots that hopefully by the summer I'll be able to get back on track and back on the show.
Excellent.
That's what I like to hear. You're always great content. We like having you on Shooting USA, instructing pro tips. One of the best, if not the best, pro tips instructors in the show's history. And one of the most likable and most fun characters on Impossible Shots. So we will be ready to have you back a part of these shows the second you're ready, Julie.
Exciting.
Oh, you make me blush.
Very good. Well, Julie? Tomorrow, December 5th, first run of the Impossible Shots Christmas special. But if, like I said, you at home miss it, December 26th, the day after Christmas, which, to be honest, is even better because you're going to have the family there. Mm-hmm. It's the day after Christmas. How are you going to fill that time? Show your relatives your favorite show, Wednesday night at the range, outdoor channel, Impossible Shots, and Shooting USA will both be there for you.
Yeah, that's nice.
Wasn't that a plug?
I like the way you did that.
I rolled that right into a nice little gift for everybody. Julie, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining us, and we will look for more things from you down the road.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right, Julie. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye.
Always enjoy having Julie on. I'm glad she joined us.
Yeah, that's neat stuff.
Well, buddy, we're about wrapping this thing up, but we've talked all day about Impossible Shots. What are you working on Shooting USA right now?
Well, I got some interesting stuff coming down the pipe. Got the elements together for the IDPA Nationals, and should hopefully be wrapping that show here in the next week or so. Interesting story in and among that particular coverage was... a young man that I've met before, but I've not spent any time with, and that's Lee Wills, mm-hmm. Junior shooter. He's sponsored by Para now, and got to meet him, got to meet his mom and his brother, and I got to learn Lee's story, and it's a pretty interesting one. So interesting, in fact, that I went ahead and made a segment about it. And essentially, he had. I don't want to give away the cat, so we'll make sure we plug that show when it's ready to run.
He has a good story that people will want to hear.
Yes.
Let's say that. He is he has some disabilities.
Well, he had disabilities from birth and has undergone a great deal of medical procedures, medical procedures to correct those, and that's still an ongoing situation for him.
Given the type of procedures that he's had to go through and what they affect, shooting is not the first thing you would think he would be into, especially shooting handguns. And so he's a very cool kid, and it's going to be a very, very cool story for you to hear.
The medical term for his condition is syndactyly polydactyly, and essentially what that means is the webbing of the fingers. It could have been just as simply, as easily the toes, but in Lee's case, it was the webbing of the fingers and that's a very intensive and painful series of surgeries to correct that situation. Not for the least of which of reasons is all of the nerve endings that you have to deal with in the hands and so on. So at the very young age of 12, this young man has managed to overcome that, and he uses the shooting sports and shooting as a form of therapy. And he's made an impression on a number of people, me included. And you'll get to hear his story and meet him in the show. And
how old is he, John?
He's 12.
12.
Kid's 12, man. And he rips. He can shoot. So I'm in the process right now of writing the segments from the Fallen Brethren three-gun that was in Texas. And I participated in that along with...
You shot with some heavy hitters.
Yeah. Some. I got squatted in with the Remington pros, Robbie Johnson, Phil Strader, and the Army Marksmanship Unit top guys. Daniel Horner and Tyler Payne and
that's a big squad.
And Joel, and it was an interesting thing. We went there to do a story on the experience of a couple of brand new shooters, guys who had never competed before, a couple of Remington executives, and they've got the top shelf gear, and they've got top shelf instruction from their pro shooters, and they were able to navigate their way through this rather challenging match pretty proficiently. So it's going to be a fun story. I turned a few corners in this particular match just being around top tier shooters and watching guys like Daniel and those attack these courses of fire. And you know, in the piece I'm writing right now, I'm talking about the fact that I don't hope to be anything better than about 50% of what Daniel's doing, but if Daniel is setting the pace for the match, mm-hmm. and I'm at my club level, you know, high D, low C, three-gun aptitude, if I'm able to shoot a 55 or a 60% of what he just laid down for a stage-winning run, that's fantastic, man. And I saw some of that stuff. I saw a few glimpses of greatness here. So we'll be looking forward to watching that.
I had to ask, and, you know, we got to set this up with a brief explanation of three gun. You know, you're running and gunning mm-hmm. with your pistol, with your shot, tactical shotgun,
right.
and an AR rifle. These are big, long stages. Three guns on a stage. You know, mm-hmm. they'll run you through all of them. And when you're dropping names like Daniel Horner, Phil Strader, Robbie Johnson, and we are talking about the top 1% of shooters in the world.
Oh,
in
yeah.
this. So, what's it like to be on a squad with those?
Well,
guys?
And that's part of what comes through in this experience piece in these two packages is there's some anxiety, you know, I mean, especially for these guys who've never even been to a three gun match.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those things. It's going into it. If you have a big ego, or if you expect to be the best at whatever you lay hands to, this is not the arena that you need to go play in, because there's, you know, everybody wants to beat Daniel, even the guys who've been shooting this thing for 20 years back when it wasn't even a sport mm-hmm. are looking at this kid and going, wow, nobody can touch him. Nobody mm-hmm. can catch him. Mm-hmm. If you can check that part of your personality, which obviously I don't have a problem with that. I know I'm not as good as these guys. I've been watching them for years and years, and I know what they're capable of mm-hmm. and I know what it takes to do what they're doing. And I know I don't have it, but I know that I can have a good time. And I know at this point in my shooting career that I've put together a gear package that's reliable with the help of friends and sponsors in the industry. I've got a rifle I can depend on. I've got a shotgun I can depend on. I've got a pistol I can guarantee you is going to run. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm through that initial issue with this particular sport, I can start looking at things like, how can I be more efficient? How can I choose a better shooting position with the rifle where I don't have to waste time getting here or getting there? And things like watching Daniel and those guys gives you that inside track on stuff like that. So you see, as opposed to my first instinct on one stage might have been to shoot a few things offhand and then go to a rifle position, I'm found by watching those guys do it that it's better to just hurry all the way to that rifle position and make all of your shots from there, as opposed to wasting the time of having two different rifle positions and so on. It's one of those things that at a club level, when you watch it at its highest pinnacle, there are so many things you can pick up, but just a few things, if you're able to pick up and actually manage and employ it makes a big difference in your particular performance.
That's a great point, and that applies to everyone out there who is not these guys. And it's one thing to watch these guys shoot. It's one thing to watch the Shooting USA coverage of these guys shoot. But watch the little nuances of what these guys do. And you and I have really learned this. I mean, you've been expounding upon this, that it's one thing to watch these guys shoot and then go try to do it. It's another to watch everything they do and know that they're doing it for a reason and start to look to duplicate some of those things. And you have these moments of, ah, that's why they
right.
did it. Oh, that's why we're over here doing this. And it will improve. It will absolutely improve your game.
Right. And there's no better way. I mean, the bottom line is this. There's no better way to get better at any of the shooting sports than to participate.
Correct.
That's the only way, is to get out and do it. And it's get out and practice, get out and get in matches, get yourself under the stress and under the timer and all of those things that go along with being in a match. You don't get that anywhere else other than the match. Mm-hmm. And if you have the opportunity to do it in conjunction with the guys that are better than you, and they don't have to be the best guys, just guys who are, even at the club level, if you're shooting C or D, if you can get in a squad with guys that are B or A or master, they're going to be better, they're going to be faster than you, but you're going to be able to pick things that they're doing and see why what they're doing has allowed them to excel to the level they're at. It works completely across the board.
Absolutely.
So it's an exciting package. It was a fun piece to do, knowing I was going out there to shoot with these guys, and knowing that this was how I was going to be putting this piece together. So I'm looking forward to
that. Well, it'll be fun. That's going to go to edit soon, correct?
Yeah, those should be dropping this week. And then it's down to Shreveport, Louisiana for a series of pro tips with Jerry.
That's right.
Not 100% sure on what his subject's going to be, but I've heard rumblings that he's going back to teaching some revolver stuff,
That's my understanding, too. This is going to be revolver fundamentals from the greatest revolver shooter in history.
Yep.
So these are going to be great. If you're a revolver guy or if you're just a gun guy, these are going to be these pro tips from Jerry, which you'll see. What do you think, John? Spring next year?
Yeah.
When they hit air?
Yeah, absolutely. Those will start working their way into shows.
Those will be worth seeing.
Yep, fantastic. And then, you know, again, some other things we're going to be doing with him, prepping for SHOT Show.
Yes,
You know, stuff that has to be in place before all of the Smith & Wesson pros converge on Las Vegas.
And, correct.
You know, we're big in supporting our people.
That's right.
It's part of what we have to do. So there goes another 40 minutes. If you're still on the treadmill at this point, that should be roughly 406 calories if you did it at 6.5 miles an hour or better.
He's so good with that math. So he's just got his calorie counter going here.
It's outstanding.
Maybe we should record one of these while like on stationary bikes one time.
That'd be something.
And just you know, workout's done. We got the podcast
right.
And our cardio.
And
done.
You think you hear a lot of breathing when we're just sitting here at the desk? By golly, get me on a stationary. I'll do it on a concept rower. And
there you go.
Yeah, it'll be a slow row.
Well, pace yourself. I mean, we take 45 minutes to an hour with these, so pace yourself.
You have to. Well, good stuff, man. That was a fun deal. No thanks to the cell service in Montana or the home phone service, because off mic, we actually tried her on her home phone, too, and it was worse.
It didn't work out in that regard at all. So we did the best we could for you out there.
I'll make up for it with Julie in person from Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Which will sound fantastic.
It'll be glorious, we promise.
Outstanding. Good stuff. Well, again, the call to action is this. We need input from you, the listener. What do you want to hear us talking about? Who do you want to hear us talking to? ShootingUSA.com. You can find our email addresses or any of the Facebook pages, the show page for Shooting USA or Impossible Shots or Mike's page or mine or Jim's
right.
even. I don't know. Maybe he'll come down and give me a message.
There are plenty of avenues to reach us. Pick
plenty
one
of ways
and
to
find
let
us
know who you want us to be talking to or what you want us to be talking about. And, you know, we did it with Jerry. We did it with Julie. We'll make it happen again.
That's right.
We'll be here for you.
All right, buddy. Same time next week.
You bet. I enjoy it.
We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks for listening. See you guys later.